This morning we want to break bread. And part of what I was sharing or praying and thinking about was this Easter season. I think I've shared with you many times before, but you know, with the early church and the patterns of the early church was that, you know, there are different sort of flows and rhythms of the year. But what happened with Easter is that Easter was a time to almost commemorate Jesus' resurrection all the way to the ascension and then to Pentecost. So you've almost got this, the same theme that's not just a day. You know, this is what I keep saying about often what, you know, the world sees. The world sees Christmas Day, you know, and the world sees Easter Day. But the early church didn't see it like that. It wasn't about a public holiday. It wasn't even a public holiday. They were like, there's this time to contemplate and reflect this incredible meaning of what Jesus has done for us. So I'm going to move a lot of what I prepared and shift that out to next week, and we're going to just have some more time for communion as well this morning. But last week, I was reflecting on the theme of two gardens or two gardeners. I said to you, it was quite ironic. Dylan needs to hear this because Dylan knows I know nothing about gardening, and Dylan is the avid gardener, you know. But you know, the theme of Jesus being resurrected in a garden was this powerful echo of Eden. And you know, we so glibly and so easily talk about a new covenant that was sealed for us by the sacrifice of his body and the shedding of his blood. And we talk about this new covenant in his blood, echoing Paul's words. But this new covenant was the beginning of something completely new. It was the launching of recreation, new creation. Not just new birth for eternity, but living into a new humanity that Jesus had inaugurated. He kicked it off for us. So when we come to communion, we come recognizing that Jesus died for fallen humanity. There's the sense in which we bring, yes, Lord, I was, you know, ratty with the cat on the way here, and I shouldn't have spoken to her in tongues. And, you know, it's like, you know, so it's like we bring things that we want forgiveness for. But it's just so elementary. What we bring is fallen, broken humanity that Jesus paid the price for. And when we come, we recognize that in us is brokenness and fallenness. And we, each of us, mostly me, but some of you too, Alan and Laurie are nodding at me, we kind of go, we've played a part in this. We have played our part in sin, in darkness, in brokenness. We've continued to say yes to the serpent in the garden. So where there's the opportunity with you and I to, you know, to work with the Father in the garden, we have said yes to other voices. We have gone our own way. And we've landed up being tangled in the weeds and the thorns. And so when we come, we bring the sense of that Jesus died for our sins. He paid the sacrifice for the brokenness of my life and Israel and humanity. And then we take his cup and we celebrate that his life was shed The ancients believed, and I think medically it's still quite a good point, that the life is in the blood. So there's only so much blood you can shed before you lose your life. And Jesus shed his blood so that we would live. And so Resurrection Sunday is not just about forgiveness of sin and, you know, God paying the price for humanity. The resurrection is this inauguration of a new day has dawned. And we have been set free to live, to really live. And the person who shows us what that looks like is Jesus. So I had a whole lot to say to you about the new day and all of that. Can wait, I'm not going anywhere. But if we can get this, this is about new life, freedom, new humanity, new humanness. And so as we take the bread and the wine today, we come with, going back to what we were feeling before the service, we come in. So you come in with, my throat is sore, or my knee sore, Bev's elbow sore, you know, Shell was talking about to me about stuff to pray for, Anne is in ICU. So you bring, we bring stuff that's weighing us down. But then we say, you have come to free us, to live into newness, into new creation, into this new humanity, and you have sent your Spirit to make that really possible. And so where this week we have felt like we've been on our own, and now we come to worship and we feel disconnected. You ever feel like that? And then you feel like what Neil was saying, you feel like, you know, maybe God's given up on you. You know, or you feel like, you know, he's not about to kill you because he died for our sins, but he's got his favorites. You know, he uses this one and he uses this one and that. And when we come, that is, he wants to break those lies. He wants to unpack and dismantle broken thoughts and darkness and demonic in our lives. He wants to literally unwind, distangle, discombobulate, whatever word you want, all the wrongness, so that we would live right. So that we would live right. That we would live with him. I'll share this thought as a teaser for where we could go. Why did the Christians change the day of worship? All Jesus' first followers were Jews. So why would they change the day? So it was something that happened quite slowly, and it just evolved into Sunday. But when you start reading what happened in the early church and then on into some of the fathers and that, there are two things that they kept saying. We're moving away from the Sabbath because the Sabbath became so legalized. Sabbath and circumcision was about this humanity upholding God's law, which Jesus came and said, well, you didn't do that so well, hey. Right. And the early churches, they began to live into the resurrection, said we need to shed, we can't continue to do this. It happened on two levels. They got booted, which also helped, okay, but that was later. So they actually got booted historically from the synagogues. But at the same time, all the early fathers, even in in Revelation, and Paul alludes to this, and Acts and that, they start talking about the Lord's Day. So Christians began to worship on a Sunday to celebrate the resurrection and not the Sabbath. It wasn't about Mosaic observance. It was about resurrection life. Christ was resurrected, so we would be resurrected. Isn't that what we shared about baptism? Baptism is not just, you don't hold people down and then bury them. Although, there are times. You come out of the waters to a new covenant, a new relationship with God, a new life in the Spirit. And so the Sunday became this important event about something new has happened. And we need to live into that newness. And they linked it with creation, and they linked it, which was the Sabbath as well, and with the future. So we see we are living towards what we will be. Quite confusing. We will be presented to Him in eternity like Him, transfigured, transformed in a moment. And as believers, we are not trying to jump through hoops to prove that God must keep us and not abandon us. He's paid that price. And now He's empowering us to live into the future that He has for us. A new heavens and a new earth and a new humanity. So for the first believers, Sunday was a new day because their understanding of time had changed. We are now called to live, not harking back to the Mosaic law, but we're called to live into the future. And that begins now. And as we break bread, we're saying, let that be now. And those lies and those patterns, I'm not worthy, I'm separated, you prefer, I'm forsaken, He wants to break today. And as we take the bread, we are saying, come and smash and unbundle and unweave and dismantle that garbage so that I can be new and made new. So Lord, whatever lies and brokenness and darkness we are carrying this morning, wherever that serpent is still whispering, we ask that we would hear Your voice and say yes to You and break the power of lies and darkness and brokenness. Because You paid that price. So we bring, Lord, with the bread, we just bring our frailty. We bring where we have messed up. And we thank You that You have paid the ultimate sacrifice to set us free. And we pray, release Your freedom as we take this bread now.